Good evening, all y'all. This is Daryl War, and I hope you're listening to this at a reasonable moment of serenity. Perhaps painting, drawing, doodling, washing dishes, mending, crochet, all that lovely stuff we can get done while listening. It came to my attention a lot of us, myself included, were feeling tired and a little despondent on our own behavior. So I wanted to create something to let you know I understand and how I do, what's going on with me as a human being, and what to expect if we all start working together, just as our beloved spooks do in this radio series. As some of you know, we've had some real bad stuff go down socially, and it's not entirely fandom-based, but more what the technology has done to our conversational skills. I was at church and saw someone using Facebook on her phone from a meter away, and I just thought, we are all using this network in so many different ways. It's like everyone trying to speak in different languages to each other, on top of behaving like zombies or robots with it. I myself have lost a ton of friendships because of it, and through various conversations on other news groups and correspondence, I've discovered I'm not alone in this problem. Some of the most rebellious types out there, the people who shout they'll be the first for the revolution, they've all been sideswiped by this thing. They've completely lost their spirits, being beholden to its addictive consumption. And that's pretty scary. I never thought I would be the first whistleblower to anything. But as it turns out, I appear to be. One thing we're finding, and you'll know this if you are a reader of my WordPress journal, is the very low skills in observation nowadays. Observation is a very, very simple skill of both listening with your ears and taking good stock of what you're looking at. So much of the time, it is conceivable that so many people have even the colors of the rainbow mixed up, to the point that blue and red are exchanged in the very spectrum of light. When I started my intros talking about the various shows, I thought it was all very old news to fans of these programs. Apparently, it was very important for me to spell out so much in those intros. By the time I reached Facebook fan groups, I was getting an absolute deluge of incorrect assumptions when I could just pop in a disc and discover they were all completely unfounded. I guess what happened is everyone jumped onto the online world, and rather than finding factual data about Dark Shadows, among other things, they went and found varying opinions from people who hadn't watched the thing in up to 40 years. So that's a drop in observation, really. And again, it goes farther than Dark Shadows. There are a lot of expressions in someone's personal life that many people jump the gun about, which isn't helpful to someone looking for moral support. I'm grateful to see a few more people using the telephone to talk to each other, and I said, Facebook should be used as a supplement to friendship, not the entire thing. Plus, this idea that all we need to do is lazily click a button to be friends with someone is ridiculous. One of my dearest now has expressed to me how irritated she becomes when she gets a friend request from someone she has virtually no knowledge about. They've never chatted in a group, she doesn't know them at all, there is no message addressing her, and she eventually considers the request the height of rudeness. Believe me, I was very thankful to hear this from her. As she said, I was raised with completely different standards. You aren't friends with anyone until you get to know them, and you don't assume friendship with a click. So I've been very grateful to hear this incredibly sound reasoning of personal relationships from her. You know, you just start to feel like someone out there is making real sense. In any case, for this broadcast, I just want to go over some stuff I'm looking forward to as far as possible change goes. And when I say that, the thing is that since we're all passing the buck, we expect someone else to do the talking to me or to someone else about their work. Folks, It's just not going to happen. It happened back in the 1990s, but it's not happening now. The reason a lot of you heard episode 14, Reunion at the Old House, was because Melissa, Helena, MID, O'Sheen, Tingler, and a few other people here and there pulled in their focus, reported their feedback, answered the Q&As or an equivalent, and got the job done. But it took over 2 years and a whole lot of luck to get that. Discussion is the main reason I did all of this, and it's all I can get minus contributions. So I ask you to please understand that part of it. The other thing is this podcast space is not cheap. We're paying about $200 a year for the site, as well as donations to archive.org, since they've been so generous all around. I mention this because the longer we wait for the discussion support, the more my husband and I have to pay to keep the availability of the pit within your easy access. Now, I don't know about you, but my income has rarely ever supported that on a weekly basis. And you could just, like, say, oh, well, that's not that much or whatever. But, you know, we're, like, sitting here waiting. So, yeah, it is a lot, you know. It's money. Come on. I think discussion for all of this is beyond fair trade. Like I've said, it's why I'm doing this at all. The ironic part of all of this is that it seems the people with disabilities have become some of the most active online right now. You have a ton of able-bodied, full workload types, and they seem to lose their focus and comprehension on social networks. The people who can't tootle in cars or even walk are making a difference. And as a few of the visually impaired people complain, the photo obsession doesn't do a damn for them. I empathize with this greatly because, I mean, why did I start this at all? What happened to Sam? It bothered me enough that his demise was the final straw. So I am more than happy to voice call visually impaired listeners about the series and get their take on it that way, if need be. But that begs the question, if you're able-bodied, and perhaps, once upon a time, ample-minded, should it really take the people out there with less personal freedoms to do the talking for you? I believe it's important to understand all of that, especially if you are acquainted with Geordi LaForge's character on Star Trek The Next Generation. Some people complain that I'm making them feel guilty. Well, I don't really care for that. If you're feeling guilty about this, it's as simple as Jiminy Cricket. It's the little voice that tells you that you're not doing what you know is right. And by which, you change your behavior. As simple as that. If guilt or embarrassment is there and it's not doing you any good in personal growth, discard it. That's my take on that issue. Now, let's look at what I'd like to be sharing with you all. I want to keep doing this work rather than sitting around waiting for people to speak up. Mostly what I get are so many like clicks. Which is basically, you know, you just get a bunch of notifications, and what does it feel like? It's kind of obnoxious that way. Just right at you, constantly. There you go. Doesn't do anything. That's a light click. That's tons of light clicks in a row. That's what it sounds like. That's what it feels like. That's what it is. I don't even pay attention to most of them anymore. Like, I'll sign on to a social network and I'll see someone thumbed up something, or worse, someone thumbed up 20-somethings I put somewhere. All I think on that score, I don't know this person, they've never talked to me, they're trying to tell me something without telling me anything, doesn't do me any good, move on. So if you're searching me out to click a million times, well, you wasted your time. It didn't do squat. I.e., stop doing that. Thank you. Next, if you would like to slow the pace and write to me by postal mail, honestly, I would love it. I really enjoy the more focused pace of that, and Melissa helped keep me company so I would clean up around here. I found at least 2 decades worth of stationery to use. So I am set for that. If you're caught up, I will mail you a CD of the latest Radio Trauma episode with a Q&A, and we'll proceed from there. Episode 15, A Blundering Succubus, is pretty much completed. I might add a little music here and there, and seriously, I have 2 grassroots listeners who I warned not to drink anything while they listened, and they were, like my husband and I back in 2013, falling down, literally, on the floor, and laughing at Nicholas Blair and Vampire Angelique playing Gin Rummy. Seriously. We get this series back on the road, and you, most assuredly, will wet yourself. I remember what happened. It was so good, and very in character for them, because you know Blair and Angelique. They're always biting remarks at each other, just bickering constantly. No doubt, this is some good, genuine stuff. The episode is dedicated to Heather O'Rourke for other reasons, and I feel that it's important. If Heather O'Rourke had lived, she'd be about my age, and I'd like to give something for her memory and her personal spirit, which touched a lot of us. So there is music in there that should speak the metaphors in why I did that. Also, I have an interview with Oisin Navoi. And you know how much I admire that woman. That I'm itching for you all to hear. It actually took place before the interview workshop with Autumn Archer. But I needed to place it closer to when Bill Malloy is coming up in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. She's convinced me to add his ghost, and I find it incredibly fitting considering what Elizabeth Stoddard and Lily Munster are doing. We really had a lot of fun, and we discussed Randall and Hopkirk deceased, as well as the ghost of Mrs. Muir. I don't know if they'll all be in the same podcast, but I mean, I'm going to use all of that stuff because, I mean, we talked for about an hour, so it might be like 2 different podcast intros, and that would be, it'd be really cool. I mean, we had a lot of fun, so it'd be great. Also, both of our husbands were present, so it's a lot of, it's so much fun, and I would like to get this going and have us all enjoy what's coming up. I really would like that. So these are all the things I'm trying to show you, you know, we can just keep going and have fun and not worry about all the, you know, not sweat the small stuff. And a lot of this is going back to the potential the original writers of these shows had, a togetherness and staff, a camaraderie, and sadly at this point, social networks aren't making that happen. That was the idea, I think, of all of this stuff, and it just turned into a big old zombie rot brain dead fest. So, we have to go back to something better until we can learn how to use these things in a healthy way, where we're not wasting our lives away on it. Then, and I know a lot of you are looking forward to this, episode 16 in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows has Professor Stokes letting Julia know how he feels about her. I really just thought they fit together, but other fans let me know, and I already did the studying, so I know this too now, that he truly had that affection, and as is shown in later episodes of Dark Shadows, Julia wasn't averse, so the relationship has a ton of potential, and I'm looking forward to exploring that as well. Seriously. And Julia deserves so much relief, and Barnabas wasn't doing it for her. Hell, I'd take a M-rated story of Julia with Dave Woodard for what it's bloody worth. Another thing that's making this take ages is Hawkeye. There are 2 very good reasons he's showing up, but you know Alan Alda's voice is not easy. Barnabas is hard, but Alan Alda? That is so much harder. And it would be nice to get some of these characters into the pit before their actors leave us. It's bothering me. You know, I want to get Doctor Who in there, and it's bummed me out so much that it might only happen after Tom Baker is gone. Or even John Leeson, you know. So we'll see how it goes. I guess it's like I want to pay tribute and I want it known before it's too late. With Margaret Chazette Dupre, and I know the readership is a little low, but the support is wonderful. And little Sarah Dupre, I've been taking careful study of Sarah Collins and everything on Dark Shadows that she did. Again, I'm finding many of my original observations were so accurate, and on top of that, Sarah's ghost has deep rapport with Maggie Evans. And quite a bit with Sam, too. She even called Maggie her best friend, which demotes David in a lot of ways. So when I look at Margaret Josette Dupre now, I see that Josette reincarnated as Maggie Evans, and Sarah's relationship with Maggie, as well as signs we got with Josette in 1795, were more spot on than I knew at the time. That deeply pleases me. And I'm doing a lot of that study to keep Sarah's persona as canon as possible. And it's very beautiful, but I'm also studying child development and reincarnation once more, just to find what is the most likely. Again, this is all for the love of these characters. I'm not getting paid. I can't get paid, obviously. Then eventually I'm going to rewrite that as I reinstate 200 years away, so that any inconsistencies can be dealt with and all of that. So if you are looking over my Pinterest files, you'll see there is Sarah Collins studies, and also components of Victoria Winters and Caleb Collins, because that's been interwoven from the original series, and I interrupted later on from all of that. So that means everything before that is accuracy, minus, you know, when people flub. Those things that are a little inconsistent, that aren't mentioned as much. I'm going over the first year, and there's a lot of things that I'm relieving, and just, so you just do your best. Plus, I figured, well, I can make another extracurricular podcast, because we are paying for the space. Some people like the sound of my voice and want more. Okay, nice. There are a few of you waking up from this silent crisis and seeing what I've been talking about isn't the mummery of a madman, and you realize I'm not do whatever you want in storytelling with fan work, because I don't work that way at all. I never have. If you want to write to me about the stuff that I was doing with Sailor Moon, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that I was working with many layers when it came to Sailor Moon and what I was doing back in the 90s. It's not up anywhere unless somebody has taken some archive of some HTML webpage that I did for it. But in any case, and that was, of course, as Detta, not as Daryl. But yeah, I mean, I really did everything I could to make it authentic, both to Naoko Takuchi's original work and the way she did stuff, and also with how they were transposing it for the North American dub with other elements from other fandoms, you know, because a lot of the North American dub was based on Clueless, da 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 da. So if you want to write to me about that, and I can tell you, I can show you the layers of what I did back in the 90s with the Sailor Moon. I mean, I adhered to as much accuracy as I could with Sailor Moon back then. So it wasn't easy. I don't do anything you want to do. So, you know, I was working on multiple layers. And with this, of course, it's the hardest work of my life. So, you know, I'm doing a multi-fan. With Sailor Moon, I was just trying to follow a lot, you know, like three or four different formats. You can write to me and I'll tell you all about it, because it wasn't easy. It was fun, but it wasn't easy. Like I said, you know, I don't do whatever you want. It doesn't make any sense to me when anyone, even my buddies, tell me, do whatever you want. No, it doesn't make any sense, because I mean, what? Are you going to have me perform Beetlejuice in a ballerina outfit and behaving like Commander Riker? Obviously not. It doesn't work that way. It was scary enough performing Norman Bates, of all people. And I was sitting there, like, looking, and I was like, I'm going to do the tired Norman again, like I did in the demos, because I'm staring at Anthony Perkins, and it was too much. So it wasn't anything I wanted to do. I mean, I really did try to get into Norman Bates' persona, and it was terrifying. So it's not anything you want to do. By the way, Oisin has really been pulling her interest for the trip with Lily and Elizabeth. And in the history of those ships, there was some historical discrepancy. So we're not going to go with the QE2 ship, but likely the previous RMS Queen Elizabeth, and a few people in the Ghost of Mrs. Muir group were absolutely wonderful with the possible details for that. So thank you very much. Also, Christmas came and went, and, you know, I've been trying to collect stuff. We're trying to get the damn DVD player to hook up to the boob tube, the TV, and so I'm concerned about that, because, I mean, I worked all week on, you know, trying to get the connections to work, and, you know, I come from kind of techie people, and it just wasn't flushing, and it's so frustrating, because I don't want to just work from computers, I want to just sit there and go through it like I used to with the pit and with all the shows and everything, and it's really frustrating. But in any case, and some of the people on Tumblr already know this, as well as a few other people, I got all of the Addams Family for Christmas. So we're done. We're ready. I mean, I'm ready to do all that studying with the Addams Family. Monsters I want to do, would like to kind of go over again, just for Lily and for Grandpa, all that stuff. So, you know, if you're a Monsters fan and you want to get in touch with me and talk about that, you know, that'd be cool, because I want to just start taking notes for everybody. Ghost of Mrs. Muir, same thing. I don't have all the episodes yet, and I know a lot of them are on YouTube anyway. Great copies, but I'd like to have my own copies, and I've been slowly purchasing them, because it's a long story, but slowly doing that, among other things. So, that's all I'm just working on, trying to get everybody, you know, juggled about. That's why I don't have time to waste on social networks like clicking crap. But this is just too big, and I need help with it, research assistance, whatever. Talk, discussion, just get it out there, etc. I just keep going, you know, I just want to get it done. You know, and don't just throw stuff at me. You know, that was the thing that was really angering me the last couple of years, people throwing pictures at me. It didn't do any good. It just frustrated me. It wasn't talk. It was pictures. Didn't do any good. Didn't inspire me. Didn't do anything. It bothered me. And you saw that. So, as for the doom and gloom fans in a lot of this, you know, like, Barnabas just deserves to rot. Or all these people just deserve rot. Whatever, you know. Go away. I have to suggest moving over to some Victorian literature. Because if you don't care for the problem solving or happiness, there are a lot of Sarah tales from that day and age. Many of those writers, Dickens, Warden, etc., addressed the problems because they wanted to make sure we were educated to them. And they didn't want them to continue. But hey, if you want to live in a bummer world, it's all out there. Have at it. Meanwhile, here I remain. And wonder if this darn thing will ever be over. I'd actually like to live my life again in some capacity that makes sense. We shall see. So, use email, postal mail, get in touch, practice your observational skills, meditate these things, and don't let the thumb, one of the main things that sets us apart from other animals, be the symbol of what destroys that difference. Take care.
The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is a Daryl War production.